If you could open with me in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. And we'll read verse 3. We've come together tonight chiefly to pray. So we want to come together to worship Jesus Christ and to see Him. So I pray that everything that is said is exalting to Him. And verse 3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." And as I think of my own testimony, I think that this verse could be written as a banner over my life. And I wish that I could understand it and comprehend it more. But the verse is telling us that God loved us who are His with an everlasting love. And that is the purpose. That is His decree. He has loved us. And therefore, because of that, the motive, He therefore has drawn me. And drawn me through His work of redemption. And I just want to say a word of thanks. My wife and I have not been here for very long. But we are so thankful for each and every one of you. You have shown us so much love, so much kindness since we came here. From the first time that we came here, a man named Raul McIndollar allowed us to stay in his home. And not for anything from us, but just to show us kindness. And we're very thankful for that. And I thank you for the opportunity that I have to come before you and speak. And I do pray that everything that's said would give honor and give glory to Christ as we come before Him to pray tonight, because that's what we need, is to think on Him, for Him to become more lovely in our sight. Well, I was brought up in a nominal Christian home. We attended a Lutheran church and many different kinds of evangelical churches. I was baptized when I was a young child, about 4 years old. I was baptized in the Lutheran church. I did make a profession of faith, but I don't believe I had any knowledge of the gospel. We lived in Maryland, and my father was, I believe at that time, working on his doctorate. He's getting a doctorate in, I think it was economics and small business from George Washington University. And so we were able to travel quite a bit. So I never really had a place where we were settled down, never really had a church where we were settled down. So we moved around. I had the opportunity to live in Hungary, in the Czech Republic. We had made trips to France, to Austria, and to the UK as well. And so growing up, I really didn't have a place to call home. We moved around quite a bit as my dad studied, and he also taught at St. Charles University in Prague, Czech Republic. And when I was living in Ohio, I attended a Christian school for the first time. And when I attended Christian school, I was not very well behaved. And I was asked whether I was asked to leave or my parents withdrew me, I'm not sure exactly to this day, but nonetheless, I was gone. Because I was disobedient, I was disrespectful, I was a lot of bad adjectives. And so I was asked to leave or my parents withdrew me at a Christian school in Ohio. I also went to a private school. At the private school, I also had to leave the private school. I was not a very pious young man in the private school either, and so I had to leave. Private school was actually before the Christian school. When I was, I think, third grade, I was asked to leave school, which is not good, not good at all. So when I was in seventh to eighth grade, I started to play music, and I played music because we had some difficulties at home. And besides that, I was in so much trouble at school that most of the teachers didn't like me, except for my principal. And the teacher would actually take the kids and tell them, don't spend time with this young man. He's a bad influence. He's not a good kid. And so I was had a very low self-esteem. And so I began to play music. And I wanted more than anything for people to think well of me. That was the end of my life, for people to think well of me. And so that's what I set out to do. And when I got to the eighth grade, I wrote a song. And I played it for eighth grade graduation. And I learned piano when I was younger, and I played it there. And from there, from the way people responded, I said, this is great. Finally, people like me. Finally, people think well of me. And so that set the flame, so to speak, to me playing music and going on with it. Now, when I got older, ninth, 10th grade, I kept playing music. When I was 12 years old, I started attending a charismatic church called the Vineyard Church of Columbus. Probably about 8,000 people attended. And I attended that church from 12, I believe, to 17. And when I was attending that church, they had a very strong contemporary Christian music worship program. And so I was involved in that. And I ended up getting in touch with a man who became a producer in Nashville, Tennessee. And I wrote my songs as a young man by myself and led worship. I had the opportunity to lead worship in a number of different camp situations, and I led worship in a number of different charismatic churches. At the age of, I believe, 17, I was the college young adults worship pastor for an evangelical Quaker church in Ohio. And so I led worship there, and I believe one time I preached as well. And I'm glad I don't have that on record. But when I was there, this whole ideology that was in the charismatic church just completely consumed me. And my experience with God was directly linked to my experience with music. I wouldn't call music my God. I didn't deify music. But music was my experience with God. It was the venue. It was the instrument. It was the vehicle by which I experienced God. And so when the service, worship service, was over, I lost my touch with God. When I went home, I had no prayer life, I had no Bible reading, I had nothing. But when I was in service, I had many different experiences. I was in a church where they practiced all of the sign gifts and those many things. So I was very confused as a young man. So when I was about in 10th or 11th grade and I was playing music, I ended up going on to perform in different venues and different places. And I put my music in that I had written myself for different competitions. And this whole period of my life, I just say that I was lost, absolutely lost. And so what was Christ doing? Christ was drawing me through all these circumstances providentially. And he deserves the glory for everything. Like Jacob said, all these things are against me, but they're not. They're not against me. And I'm thankful for them. And I continued to play music, and I got in touch with a producer. I ended up winning a competition, having a band, having the internet sites, having t-shirts and CDs, and I went to Nashville and performed in a fairly large competition and did decently well. I was able to perform at a festival in Chicago at this big baseball stadium with a number of different Christian contemporary bands, different ones, Reliant K and Skillet and other people. And it was rock music, but it was quote-unquote Christian. And so I led those songs, and I played the music, and I had the CDs, and I had the T-shirts, and I went to attend Huntington University. And during this time, I believed I was converted, and I was living in sin, but my experience was so tied to music that I couldn't see past the end of my nose spiritually. And I was absolutely in darkness. And when I attended Huntington University, I believe I minored in music, majored in missions. I majored in missions, which is interesting, because I thought I knew the Lord. I thought the Lord was what I experienced in music. I thought the Lord was what I experienced through many different things. And I knew he died for my sins. But I was never converted. I was never made a new creature. I never desired after righteousness, hated my sin, and loved Christ. That never took place. But when I went to this school, it was a school that brought in the emergent theology, philosophy, and that I was inundated with that and became even more confused than I was before. So by the time I was towards the end of this school, I wanted to leave, and I went to Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. And I attended Liberty University for one semester. And while I was at Liberty, a girl attended the college, not my wife, but another girl who I had known since I was young at the Vineyard Church. And I had always been very fond of this one girl, and she was very popular. And before, I could never have talked to her, but because I played music now, I could. So So I went to Liberty University, and I started talking to this girl. I thought I'd marry her. And I went in to play for the competition that they have for scholarships, and I was told that I did well. I don't think I did well, and I don't think you would have thought I did well, but they thought I did well. And I thought I'd had a scholarship that I'd receive, and then I was working on a record deal that I believe I had. And while I was at school at Liberty University, and I was totally taken with this entire, it's almost a different, a completely different religious system. And I was overtaken by it, consumed with it, and my parents began to attend an independent Baptist church. And my mother stopped doing a lot of things that she did. She dressed differently. My dad completely dressed differently. My dad acted differently. My mom acted differently. They listened to different music, and they were not happy with what I was doing. And so all of a sudden, I found I couldn't go home. They weren't very pleased with me. And when I would go home, they would make me go to the church. I couldn't stand the church. Absolutely couldn't stand the church. I hated the very, just walking into the place. I couldn't stand walking in. I dress very differently. I used to have very different hair at one point. It was a different color. I was very much into a whole different, just a whole different situation than the Independent Baptist. My parents went there. They were praying for me while I attended Liberty. And by the time that I was in Liberty, something happened. I read a scripture in my New Testament class, 1 John 2:15, love not the world. And from that point, I don't know exactly what happened, but I took the scriptures and I would go into a little chapel and read the Psalms and lay on the ground and pray. And I didn't know the Lord. And my parents were praying for me. My church was praying for me. Within a couple of months, I believe it was, I lost my record deal. And so all of my band members left, most for very bad reasons. They had to leave. My whole band shut down. My record deal shut down. I lost all of that, lost money through that situation. The scholarship was given to a girl, given to another girl. I never thought that would happen. And then this girl that I was talking to told me, I can never talk to you again. Never talk to you again. I remember my hands shaking. I remember going under a tree at Liberty and saying, Lord, just show me the truth. I knew that I was not taught the truth when I read the scriptures of so many things I experienced at the Charismatic Church. And I knew that I would love the world, but I was accepted. I knew the scripture said not to love the world, but I was accepted. I knew something was wrong, so I begged the Lord to show me the truth. And God was gracious, but I became angry at God, and I went into sort of skepticism, almost agnosticism through the summer, and I looked at New Testament criticism and all the supposed errors in the scriptures and different world religions, and I didn't know what the truth was, where I was going, but I was attending this church. And the Lord began to deal with me. And I was sitting in the service, and sometimes just sitting in the service. And I remember one time just sitting and just crying the whole preaching. I could do anything but cry because God was dealing with me. And for some strange reason, I stumbled across a video online of this school called Crown College. And when I stumbled across this video of the school, for some reason, I knew the Lord wanted me to attend. And I didn't know why. And I didn't want to go. And so I decided I would go. And I told my parents I'll go. And they were thrilled. My pastor was thrilled. But when I got there, I said, I don't want to go. Just please don't drop me off in this place. Please don't drop me off here. I don't want to be here for anything. And but when they dropped me off and I didn't fit in, I didn't understand anything about the church, I didn't understand anything that was going on. And so when I was there, I was rebellious and I asked questions about everything. Why do we wear this? Why do we say this? Why do we preach this? Why do we talk like this? Why am I doing this? Why do I have to do this? Give me reasons here and here and here. And it wasn't simply for the reasons. It was so that I could avoid them, avoid what I was supposed to do. But when I was there, Pastor Sexton, who is my pastor at Temple Baptist Church, he wanted me to go in a traveling group and to sing. So I joined a quartet and I sang, and I didn't like the quartet at all. I couldn't stand the quartet. And while I was with the quartet, I would listen to music on my headphone. It's like I would listen to Christian rap while I was driving to the next quartet, sing. And I didn't like it at all. And I would, I'm sure, poke fun and whatever else. But throughout the summer, I was living in sin. I was totally living in sin. And I would go to the sing, and I would give my testimony, and my testimony would change almost every service. And I would go back to the hotel or wherever, and I was living in sin. And I remember I came to such a point during that summer where I just couldn't take myself anymore. I'm sure as many of you know, when the Holy Spirit convicts you and draws you, and I remember when they leave, I'd sit in the hotel room and just get on the side of the bed and just weep and say, God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I'm in my sin. I'm lost. I told my parents earlier, I'm lost. And they said, you were saved when you were a boy. You were saved when you were a child. I said, I'm lost. But I was lost. I was lost. And I continued to pray and seek the Lord. And I thought I knew what it meant to be, that I realized that I was a sinner. But I learned that to realize you're a sinner, it's, as many of you know, it's not simply to assent to a theological fact that, or to the idea that all people have made mistakes, but it's to see yourself as a vile, wretched worm before God, and that chiefly you have injured Christ by your disobedience. You have made God's wrath burn towards you. And that summer, I really came to grips with that. And I believe I was converted when I got back from school. And when I came back from school, I began to read through the book of Romans in my own personal devotions. And when I read through the book of Romans, I wanted to see if justification by faith was really true. Because everybody told me that you believe on Christ to be saved. And I was so worried that I'd go to hell. I was so worried that I'd be lost that I didn't want to take their word for it. And so I took the scriptures and I tried to read through over and over in Romans, really chapters 3, 4, and 5. And that was when it really came to grip me that I was saved by faith in Christ. By faith in Christ. And Romans chapter 4, I think it's verse 3. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him, which justifieth in God, his faith is counted for righteousness. And Romans 5, 1. That therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And those texts opened my eyes and gave me peace as I read them. I don't have a moment that I remember sitting in my car as I do my devotions in the morning, but that was when everything changed. And from then on, my whole life changed. The way I talked, the way I dressed, the things that I loved, the things that I hated, prayer, reading the scriptures, far from being what I need to be, failing every day, but the Lord saved me and absolutely changed my life. And probably one of the next to last people that would ever want to preach, ever should be preaching, ever should stand behind a pulpit, ever should be speaking to you now. And that when I was saved, I don't remember a call to the ministry. I just wanted to preach. And I don't remember a call. I just wanted to preach. And I didn't know about being called, I don't think, at that time. I just wanted to. But I will share, when I was called to the mission field as well, I met my wife at college. We were both lost when we met. And then we were both saved. And we both were called to go to England as missionaries. But when I was in school as well, I went to Crown United Kingdom. And with a man named James Zinker, who led the work there, and Johnny Omrod, who took care of us. Johnny Omrod's father was Robert Omrod. He was a Free Presbyterian minister in Northern Ireland. And so when we both went to the UK, I went to England. When I went to England, my whole life was absolutely transformed, and so was my wife. We were completely different people when we came back, totally different. When we got there, they would tell us, Mr. Zinker would say, It's raining, it's cold. He'd say, go walk, he'd give us me a map, I think it was 2 miles, go walk 2 miles to this apartment building and just knock doors until someone comes. Just go, praying, reading the scriptures. I met Christians that I never knew Christians were like that. Remember got the opportunity to minister in Dr. Brian Green's church, and he was our homiletics teacher in England, and got to know him. And we ended up going to the Free Presbyterian churches, and I was able to give my testimony in the Free churches and Randallstown. And I went to Clover Valley and Magherafelt. My wife went to Martyrs and some others. And when we went there and we saw the churches in the UK, the theology and the way the churches were, the reverence they had for Christ, the depth of the teaching of the scriptures just got hold of us. But I remember one night, I'll share this, I was in a small English chapel, and I think there were two or three people that attended, because in England there aren't very many people that attend chapel. And when I was in England in this chapel, the preacher was preaching probably two or three people. And it's kind of sad to look out and see two or three people in the pews. But God really dealt with me that night. And as he preached, he quoted a hymn, Jehovah lifted up his rod, O Christ, it fell on thee. Thou wast sore stricken of thy God. There's not one stroke for me. And I remember hearing that and struggling what God would have me do with my life, and knowing if Christ bore the rod of God for me, he's worthy of anything that I can give, of anything that I can do for him. And I told the Lord Jesus that I would do anything. And I knew that he called me, led me to be a missionary. And so I prayed, where, Lord, where would you have me to go? I thought I wouldn't get married. And so I plan on going to China. And I said, I'll go to China and I won't be married. I'll just go. But the Lord led me to John chapter 6 with the story of the feeding of the 5,000 and the little lad. And he spoke to me through that he wanted me to go back to England. And when I was in England, I didn't like the weather. I didn't like it's depressing. It's discouraging. It's cold. Churches are small, but I know the Lord's called us back to England, both of us. And in John chapter 6, the Lord says, to Andrew and Philip, he tells him to go feed the 5,000. And Andrew searches his pockets. He says, I only have 200 pennyworth. I can't do this. And then there's this little lad that comes, and Philip says, what are these among so many? And Christ says, if I remember correctly, in John 6, verse 5, that he asked them because he himself knew what he would do. He said this to prove them. And I knew that when the Lord said that I may not have many talents, we may not have much to offer, but the little lad could offer his lunch, Jesus Christ could use it. And we could offer ourselves, and Christ can use us, even if we don't have much, even if we don't have much to offer. And I know that he will. And how the Lord led us to the Free Church is especially here to Faith Free Greenville. We attended a Christian school after college, and I was the principal, and my wife taught English classes. And we were going to go there, and we were going to go on deputation and go to England after we worked at the school. But while we were at the school, the Lord opened our eyes to a lot of things, theologically and practically. And we just couldn't stay in the church we were in any longer. We couldn't stay even with a lot of things that we were in. The Lord brought us to some differences, and we couldn't be there any longer. And we would go and pray and ask God. I would ask the Lord, where do we go? What do we do? Where do we go? After we were married at school, the Lord brought us around to see Reformed theology and the truths of the scriptures of Reformed theology, which we had seen before in the United Kingdom. And we didn't know what to do. And so we looked around to a lot of different churches. We looked around to a lot of different places to go. And we would see Reformed. But then with a lot of the Reformed churches that we looked at, and we were still Baptists at that time, I had no idea of changing that. We wanted to go to a Reformed Baptist church. But we couldn't find a church that had conservative music. Couldn't find a church that, it was hard to find a church anyhow, that had conservative music and conservative standards of dress, reverence, prayer, a burden for evangelism, a burden for missions. It's hard to find. And there are many churches, specific churches that did, but a denomination was very hard to find. And I believe I heard Mr. Mercer, but his face came to my mind as seeing him on sermon audio, which has been a great help to both of us. And so we prayed and we believed the Lord would have us to come visit. We visited, and we knew that we had to just trust the Lord and come. And I'll finish quickly with why the Lord has brought me to Geneva Seminary. And the Lord made it clear to me and my wife as well that I should attend seminary. I definitely need to. I don't know enough. So I knew I needed to attend seminary. But we didn't know where to go. And we came here. We had a number of things happen. Dr. Barrett left and Dr. Winston left. So we didn't know what the Lord was doing. And they were trying to make a decision what I was going to do. But the Lord made it very clear that he was to have me come to Geneva. And I'm so thankful to be here. I just want you all to know that I am so, so thankful to be in the seminary, to be under Mr. Mercer as he teaches us, now under Dr. Allison when he comes, and his module soon to teach us, and those further that will come and teach us. I'm so thankful to be here. I want chiefly, I think this is the thing that drew me to this seminary, is that more than anything, I want my heart affected. I want my heart affected with the truth that I'm learning. I would rather be filled with the Holy Spirit and have a 4-point sermon of the gospel of Jesus Christ than have a PhD, but not be filled with the Holy Spirit, not know Christ, not be feeling the doctrines that I preach and the doctrines that I read. And it's good to have both, but that's one thing that drew me here, as I saw that, and the people of this church and how they pray and their heart and in this seminary. And so that's why we came. And we're just so thankful for what the Lord's done. And thank you for letting me speak.